world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And welcome back here, our final hour. Just kind of a weird day because, weird show, weird day. Well, they're all weird, you know.
Well, you can say that again.
Yeah, they're all weird. The how weird this show gets, no one will ever truly know. Not even people that know me know how weird this thing is. Because even people that watch us on Phil TV and HD every night and watch me do this don't even know how strange it is because they ain't in between my ears.
What's that mean? What does that mean?
In my head, man. Inside my head.
Inside his head, man. In between the ears.
In between the ear. You're getting better, man, because there used to be a time when you'd say in between your ear, meaning one ear.
What?
One ear. You. Never mind. So we had a. Had a really weird day. Thank you to Reverend Castorini for taking us on a tour of, what was that all about? Porn music? Did you hear that stuff that he was laying in there?
Yeah, well, he had me get out. I think some of it's very, you know, can be used. I'm not sure whether or not. You see, I find this to be.
You find this to be what? Religious?
Well, I think it's an interesting idea, and there's no doubt that when women hear this music, it does motivate us, but does it motivate us in terms of religion? I doubt that.
Wait a minute. Wait. What did you just say?
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, I'm not going to repeat it.
No. What did you just say about it motivates women?
When I hear music like this, yes, I feel myself do. It's very difficult not to. Here, listen to this. La-di-do-do.
And what are you imagining?
Phil, any woman that hears this music can imagine a gardener. You know what? Go to hell.
You can't laugh, man.
Oh, I'm not allowed to laugh? She back in the bathroom?
Yeah, I think so. I'll know for sure if I hear a toilet flush.
Yeah, that'll probably be the tip-off there, man. God.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Margaret, let me ask you a question while you're in there washing your hands.
I'm looking for the white owls.
Would you get her the cigars, man, so she's not always going out there looking for them?
Margaret, told you got a box right here.
What's that about my box? Hello?
There's a box of white owls in here. Not your box.
My box of white owls, yes.
They're in here. Will you quit yelling? Are you a professional or are you not?
Don't you ever ask me that question.
I'm going to ask it again. Are you a professional or are you not?
Yes, I am.
Then you don't go walking in and out of the studio whenever you feel like it. Let's go use the bathroom. Let me go find the cigars. Let me come back in. You're the only female host in the history of radio in this country, maybe in the world, that gets up and walks away from a live mic and goes looking for a box of white owls.
See, there he goes. He's laughing again. Drop dead and rot.
No. If you leave this time, you're fired.
That is not fair.
No, it's totally fair. It's totally fair. Now, I laughed because you were describing that music.
Yes, and you laughed.
I did laugh because you said that a woman hears this and she's...
Oh, baby.
Well, Miss Good's right. It is pretty funny to say a woman hears this, gets all romantic for a gardener.
A woman gets romantic for a gardener if she hears this. I didn't say all the time. Play it again, but thank you, bud. Now, I know there are women listening to me right now, and they hear this music, and they're thinking, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-doo-doo. You know, it's a very, very nice day. It's a luxurious afternoon. Yes, your husband's at the office or whatever he does, and the children. And you hear this, and you're thinking about a
bottled water guy? Why are you shaking your head at that?
I think you're a better man than that, Phil.
Wait, why are you shaking your head at a bottled water guy, but not at the gardener?
Because when you said bottled water guy, you've got that little smirk on your face.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you've got a kind of smirking on it.
Wait a minute, wait, hold on. Turn it down, will you, bud?
Yes, sir.
Down, not up. When you say to me that when you hear that music, or any woman hears that music, she thinks of the gardener.
Well, I didn't say a gardener. I said you think of a man who's out, a workman around the house, yes.
What's wrong with a bottled water guy?
Because the way you said it was bottled water guy, and I can see that you've already hatched a real laugh bomb in your head that has completely taken out any sensible brain cell you've got left. All that's left is what the laugh bomb allowed to live. Never mind.
No, not never mind. I want the audience to hear you because you don't sound like you've got...
I sound more sensible than you.
You sound more sensible than me. Turn it off, bud, before I lose it, okay?
I'm just trying to make it relaxing.
Oh, that doesn't relax me, man.
Well, maybe it relaxes me.
What are you hearing when you hear that music?
Turn it down. I don't want you to start playing hypnotist with me. Don't you think you're going to get into my subconscious?
When we hear music like that, the first thing that comes into my mind is porn movie.
Of course it does, because you're a man, and you imagine yourself to be someone who's digging ditches or laying pipe, excuse the phrase, or you're out front working in a sewer, or you're doing some filthy job, and you're just waiting for her, the lady of the house, to stick a hand out the door with the finger going, wagging this way, in the alluring manner, and then... Don't do that again, bud. I'm at a place in my life where a stretch in prison would be a relief. It really would.
Dad.
Not in my studio, you won't.
Well, then maybe I'll wait till it's good and dark and we're both well away from the station. Have you thought about that?
I just think that what you said right there will get me interested in calling the cops and protecting Bud's life.
I said maybe. What a... You know, you really are a P-U-S... A woman feels relaxed and romantic, and yes, she imagines a... She imagines a gardener or a man who is a chimney... Not a chimney sweep, but a man who's there to clean out a piper. You know that I was one of the first people to object to that commercial, that liquid plumber, where the two studs come to the door and say, we're here to clean your pipes. I find that to be... I'm almost turned on by how bold that was.
It was pretty bold. There's no question about it. That liquid plumber commercial was Bobby Dooley, in fact, is going to join us here in a couple of minutes to talk about the liquid plumber commercial and to talk about this... particular kind of music.
Well, are you saying she's got some personal... Wow.
No, I didn't say anything of the sort. Am I saying that about you?
Well, are you bringing me on as a guest?
I'm not bringing you on as a guest, Margaret, but you've been dominating this conversation throughout. Throughout.
No, I have not.
Throughout, you've been dominating this conversation. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at our number 855-500-7445. Remember, this month at philhendryshow.com, if you get a backstage pass, you get a free download. It's part of our Pastor William Rennick Magic Bullet Month. It's Halloween-y, baby. And we will stick a treat in your sack at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So by all means, visit us over at our website and get that backstage pass. While you're there, go to our online shop and pick up any one of a number of gifts. You know, do you get gifts for Halloween?
Yeah, I sort of can. Well, maybe.
Maybe you want to go as Ted Bell this year. So get your Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt. Hey!
That's not a bad idea.
There you go. Go to our website, get your official Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and then put on some kind of a Ted Bell mask, I don't know, and go as Ted, or go as some version of Ted. Go as Ted's kid. Go as, I don't know, just go. Whatever you do and whatever you think, just go, man. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect your 200, just go. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley coming up next. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful night here to talk just about anything. I mean, I've lost track of the things we've been discussing. I was in kind of a sour mood, but I've gotten much happier because we're going to bring on right now, and not that I don't mind having you here, or that I mind having you here, Margaret, but we are happy to get Bobby Dooley on the line because Bobby has been a busy, busy girl. And I do want to talk to Bobby, and I know that you're getting ready to rehearse or perform another one of your podcasts with your husband, Steve. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Phil, and thank you so much for having us on.
And I know that you were at the podcast festival, the L.A. Podfest. How'd that go?
Oh, we had a great time. We had Graham Elwood, who is the founder of the LA Podfest, and he was wonderful, and we talked to a lot of people, and we made a lot of friends, and it was really great fun.
And who do you have coming up now? You've been interviewing some amazing people from Henry Rollins to to everybody, Joel McHale to Patty Arquette. Who do you have coming up?
Well, we're hopeful that we'll get Scott Ian of Anthrax. I met Scott along with you on Saturday.
Now, who is Scott Ian of Anthrax?
Well, he's a very he's a very well-known singer, a musician with a band that is 20-plus years old, almost 30 years old.
Well,
you know, it's just something that...
Ladies, don't get into it, okay?
When she starts to...
When I start talking what?
When you start acting like you're all Hollywood.
I'm not acting like I'm all Hollywood, okay? I met Mr. Ian and his lovely wife, Pearl Adey.
Oh, you met his wife, too. And have they,
Okay, Margaret, stop.
You know what? This whole thing sucks on wheels. I'm going outside. I'm going to go get a shot and a beer.
What?
You heard me.
That's about her speed.
Yeah, that's right. You stay with...
Get out of here, Margaret. Go get your shot and your beer.
Do I have to listen to her?
No, she's out getting a shot and a beer.
Good God. Well, in any event, we are planning on having Scott on the program and others, so we think it's going to be very exciting. Oh, and Steve Brody, who is a great comic, and I know you're acquainted with him, Phil. So all in all, we're going to have a really good time, and it's going to be a really, really fun time.
All right. Is she really out getting a shot and a beer? Because she's supposed to be part of this segment.
No, I'm not.
Well, then would you come in here and not argue with people?
That was funny, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really funny. You're going to...
I was going to go have a shot and a beer, and I didn't go have a shot and a beer. What do you think of that?
Are you talking to me?
Maybe.
I think it was average. I'm interviewing Scott Ian of Anthrax, so...
Oh, well, I'm just so jealous. You know something, Phil? I have interviewed Tom Hanks. I've interviewed...
Tom Hanks. Are you going to go get a shot and a beer, or are you going to go smoke a White Owl...
No, I'm going to sit here and make your life a living, breathing, real hell on earth for the next few minutes.
No, you're not, because you're going to do what I'm asking you to do, and Bobby, you'll do the same, and we're going to listen to this music, and we're going to find out exactly whether it is exciting or thrilling or whatever it is, okay? So, if we can get this music now, Bobby, I don't know what's going on with her line. Call her back on a separate line. I'm going to get you on a landline away from where you are. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
Okay, we will call her back. And in the meantime, this is the music that we have been talking about that has been debated here. And Margaret, you have been discussing whether or not this is romantic music. Now, this is something that you and Bobby are not going to argue about, right?
I don't think so. I would think that any woman will hear this music and think, my God, what possibilities there are when you hear music like this. The possibility of a man in a plaid shirt. You're not going to get me to say it.
Okay, Bobby. Okay, now we have Bobby Dooley back on. Bobby, do you hear this?
Yes, I hear this.
What do you think of when you hear this music?
Well, I think of a relaxing afternoon and a man who, and when I say he's sweating on you, I don't mean on you, Phil. And I don't necessarily mean on me. What I mean is he's sweating on all of us women, the combined women of the world. Sweat drips from him onto me. And yes, that sweat may eventually give me a blemish or some kind of a skin breakout on my chest. But nonetheless...
I don't understand any of that.
The sweat, Phil, from the man.
He's sweating, and he's sweating on me, and it's causing pimples.
Well, will you turn this off for a second? What do you mean it's causing pimples? What is that supposed to mean? For a second, I thought we were talking about something romantic here.
We are talking about something romantic. We're just talking about a big, stupid ape. You know?
Phil, we're talking about... I thought you said we were going to be talking about romance.
We're playing this music because Pastor Castorini said that he felt he could turn that into religious music. Now, that's music from a porn movie. When you heard it, you said impossible. It reminds you of a gardener.
It reminds me of a gardener, yes, who's not gardening, yes.
Okay, then I got Bobby Dooley, and she pretty much concurs, only now we're talking about not just a gardener, but a guy that's sweating on you, causing your skin to break out.
But it's romantic, all right?
If there's such a thing, Phil, and I know you're going to laugh, and I don't care, if there's such a thing as your skin breaking out, and when you look at it, you feel your heart quicken.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Okay, so...
You feel your heart quicken?
Yes.
When you see pimples on your skin?
Yes, because the filthy ape of a gardener... Well, I don't think there's a man out there that'll understand this.
Well, I'll try to make you understand, Phil. This dirty, filthy ape of a gardener sweat all over you...
As he was having sex with you?
No, as he was making love to me.
And he's not your husband?
No, he's not my husband, and he has no future in my life. And he'll be gone just as soon as he's... Well, excuse me for putting it this way. He'll be out as soon as he's in.
Yeah, you got to watch that, because there's the FCC...
I'll do it, thank you. All right, so he's out as soon as he's in.
Yes, and it's all very, very romantic, and it's all very, very, I would say... It's hot, it's tropic. Yeah, listen, right here. And you're thinking of this big, filthy thing that comes through your bedroom window, leaves mud caked on the floor.
All right, get out of here, all of you. Just get out of here.
Phil, are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous, but this is not going in the direction that I want it to go in. I thought if you guys want to talk about romance, that's fine, but you're talking about your skin breaking out, some filthy animal crawling through a window and leaving mud caked on the floor. And,
Well, and so what's it to you?
Yeah, what's it to you, Mr. Henry? If the woman want to have a guy putting a dirty feet on her.
Putting his dirty feet on her?
Didn't say dirty feet, man. I'm talking about, like, if they wanted him to have, what do you call it, you know?
Sweat?
Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm able to speak for everybody.
Well, you're making people nervous, Phil.
Well, how am I making you nervous? How am I making you nervous? You're talking about romance in the one breath, and in the next breath, it's this big, dirty, filthy guy...
It's exciting. It's not a big, dirty, filthy guy, but it's a guy that comes in the bedroom window. He's not going to attack you. He's not going to hurt you. It's a romantic fantasy that women have, that a big, ugly, filthy thing... I can't describe it, Phil. It's very...
Well, try to describe it. I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that would like to hear this.
A lot of guys out there that would like to hear this.
Yeah, and especially guys that may want to break into some woman's house.
Now, you apologize for that right now.
No, you're the one that's saying it's a fantasy.
I'm not saying someone that I don't know. I'm talking about a guy that was cleaning the pool. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You said the guy cleaning the pool, you said the gardener, you said a chimney sweep at one point, and then you took it all back and said, well, no, not really. So, no, I don't know what the hell it is you're saying, okay? What I'm asking you is does that music, the music right here, is that romantic, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because of the big, ugly creep that's
coming in through a window.
That's coming in through a window, yes.
That you know?
That I do know. And I've given him permission to come in the window.
Boy, this is really dangerous talk, Bobby, Margaret.
Bobby! Woo! Well, that's a good fight.
I meant Margaret. That's dangerous talk, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's dangerous talk, because I'm not talking about someone that I don't know. I'm talking about a man that I know, and that I tell him, don't use the front door or the back door. Break a window and...
That's it.
Phil...
That's it. That's it. That's it. All right, real good. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Will you turn that off, bud, before I flip my lid?
Anyway, I think it's pretty, kind of romantic.
It ain't romantic, man. Believe me. Trust me when I tell you that, okay? I don't care what Margaret or Bobby says about some filthy, dirty guy coming through a window. Is she still there? Bobby, I'm sorry to have to hang up on you. You know, it's just a matter of whether or not we are operating with good standards, you know?
Well, I'm not the one, Phil, that was talking about it. All I said was the music was very relaxing and reminded me I'm the one that brought up a chimney sweep. I didn't say anything about a man that was cleaning a pool. I'd never have sex with a man that cleans a pool.
Only a man that cleans chimneys.
Yes, I think that's understandable.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much, ladies. We'll be getting back to you if we happen to have any openings.
What does that mean?
Never mind. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com. And our number is 855-500-7445. Don't forget, this is the month that we are giving away free downloads. And in our online store during this Halloweeny month, we got everything that you can actually concoct a Halloween costume out of, whether it be our Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirts or our Phil Hendry Show ball caps or our Bobby Dooley keychains, all kinds of stuff. We'll be right back.
Woo!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and our number 855-500-7445. So thank you very much, ladies. That was always absolutely just spectacular, man. Really something else.
Well, we try.
Yeah, you guys try, all right. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You can't be getting up.
I know.
You can't be getting up and walking out of the studio and going off to...
Yeah, you can't go out and take a dump.
Not taking a dump, you animal. I'm going and looking for cigars. You tell me that I can't strangle him, but I ask you, what better person, if not now, when, if not who, if not me?
If not who, me?
No. If not...
If not now, when, if not who, who? No.
If not now...
Are you talking about strangling him?
Yes.
All right, if not now, when... If not me, who?
You?
No, you!
You're gonna strangle me!
But I'm saying, Bud, I wouldn't strangle you, but I'm saying if I didn't do it, who would do it?
I'll do it. How about that?
Well.
Jeez. Yeah, Margaret. Well, yeah, I guess not quite up to the job, is that it? In the middle of all of this folderol, I missed out on telling you, and I'm not gonna miss out on telling you, because I'm gonna do it whether, you know, it takes me the rest of the night. I wanted to tell you about this movie because I'm very excited about it. It's called Captain Phillips, and it is a film about this act of piracy, in the words of Captain Bligh. I want to report an act of piracy. Where the hell are my glasses, Bud, for God's sake?
Probably dropped on a floor someplace.
Anyway, an exciting film called Captain Phillips, a movie that insistently closes the distance between us and them. It has a vital moral immediacy, so says a writer... Manola Dargis.
Mahonger.
Manola is the writer's name, okay? Not Mahonga Gia. You thought she was named after a river?
It looked like the river in Pittsburgh, yes.
No, her name is Manola Dargis. Mahonga Gia.
That ain't the name of the river in Pittsburgh.
Forget about the river in Pittsburgh, okay? The writer's name is Mahola. Her name...
Mahola, what a...
Manola. The story is based on chivalry, true events that unfolded in early April 2009 when four armed Somalis seized the Maersk Alabama, an American container ship. We all remember this story. Under the command of Richard Phillips, the ship with an unarmed crew of just 20 sailors was hauling tons of cargo in hundreds of containers, including food from the United Nations World Food Program designated for African countries. To the Somalis, the ship apparently looked like a floating jackpot. What happened next played out in world news, and Captain Phillips went on to write with Stephen Taldy a plodding, straightforward book with the telegraphing title A Captain's Duty. I mean, it may be a plodding, straightforward book, but nonetheless, it is on the experiences of this man and the book that he wrote, Ms. Dargis, that the film was based upon. Why take a shot like that, you know?
Well, if the book is no good, Phil, the book's no good.
The book's no good, huh? This guy lived it. Maybe he ain't the greatest writer in the world, but I tell you something, to critique a book based upon the relative skill of the man's of a writer involved who experienced something that few of us in our lives will ever come close to, man, I think it takes a pretty good pair on her. Anyway, written by Billy Ray, the screenplay...
Billy Ray?
Yeah, the screenplay was written by Billy Ray, whose credits include Shattered Glass.
Never heard of it.
Well, so now we're going to start ripping him, too?
I'm just telling you, I never heard of it.
It opens with a postcard-perfect shot of a white Vermont house. Inside, Captain Phillips, played by Tom Hanks, is packing up and checking his route. He and his wife, a nurse named Andrea, Catherine Keener, who's there to underscore Phillips' decency, are soon on their way to the airport and murmuring about their kids, the future, and the changing world. Now, apparently, Hanks affects a, quote, broad Boston accent, read, you know, New England accent. And it's a little too hard on the ears for Ms. Dargis, so she doesn't like the accent, but she says the scene's intimacy and the couple's vulnerabilities immediately humanize Phillips. Now, the movie, the reason why the movie ought to be pretty interesting is it was directed by Paul Greengrass. Paul Greengrass, everybody likes to talk about as the director of the Bourne, the two Bourne movies, the second and third installments in the Bourne movies.
Yes, the Bourne,
Hold
on, I'll do it. The first one was the Bourne Supremacy, the second one was the Bourne Identity, and the third was Bourne, the,
Bourne Free.
Bourne Free? No.
No, it's not Bourne Free.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not Bourne Free. It was the Bourne Supremacy.
There wasn't a Bourne Idiocy, was there?
Not if you're, unless you're talking about the three of us, or the four of us, or how many of us are there? One, two.
Oh, wow.
Count much? One, two, three, four. I'm sorry. The Bourne Idiocy.
No, the Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Free.
Not Bourne Free.
What was Bourne Free?
A totally different book. A totally different movie. A totally different decade. A totally different two generations ago. That's Bourne Free.
Well, what was that about?
It was about a freaking lion or something, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Bourne Identity, Bourne... Well, it doesn't make any difference. This guy was the director of two of those installments, Paul Greengrass. Now, the other thing that he directed, the other two films that he directed that I find far more fascinating were the United 93 film... And the Sunday Bloody Sunday film. Did you see those at all?
I heard about them.
What Sunday Bloody Sunday?
He did a film, Sunday Bloody Sunday, or it was called Bloody Sunday, I think. It was about an attack on a peace march in Ireland by the British Army. It was one of the most tragic, one of the most brutally tragic afternoons that ever took place in the history of the so-called Troubles of Northern Ireland. And it was one of those days that would not be long forgotten. Paul Greengrass is a great director in that what he uses sometimes is improvisational acting. He uses what he calls non-professional actors as well as professional actors. And he uses a improvisational document as opposed to a script. So when he began, when he made films like United 93, it was a movie that was entirely improvised, based not so much improvised as it was, in other words, the scenes were set and they knew where they were going in each scene, but the actors were creating their own dialogue as they went. And many of these actors had lived these events. Ben Sliney, who was the head of the FAA the very day that the events of 9/11 took place, also appears in United 93. Members of the Northeastern Air Defense System, NEADS, I guess is what they call it.
Is that what it's NEADS?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, Northeast Air Defense System. But that was a film that also had in its cast people who were on duty that day with that Air Defense System Command and people that remembered what happened that day. With Bloody Sunday, I'm not so sure that that was the case. With Bloody Sunday, because the events took place so long ago, I don't think you had as many. But you did have, in that film, outstanding acting, unbelievable performances, unforgettable scenes, and all of it done in that manner of the improvisational, using that improvisational document and using the improvisational abilities of the actors. Now, I'm looking here at Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Ultimatum, and... okay, so those are the two?
Well, there were three.
What about Bourne Free?
There ain't no Bourne Free, okay? Forget about Bourne Free, man. It is not... It's not here.
Yeah, no, that you don't spell Bourne Free, B-O-U-R-N-E, man. Well, yeah, what do you mean?
born, as in I was born, you were born, B-O-R-N, not B-O-U-R-N-E.
What? Are you an idiot or something, Bud? Are you listening to them?
Here it is, born supremacy and born ultimatum. Those are the two. United 93 was in 2006. Then he did a film called Green Zone, which was a real piece of garbage. Just a stinker up one side and down the next.
I heard Green Zone was very good.
Yeah, well, I heard it sucked on wheels. How about that?
You don't like it because it has a it's anti of Iraq.
Whatever. And then we have this Captain Phillips. So Green Zone was the last film. Well, let's hope that Captain Phillips is far more on target than Green Zone, which blew a tree full of chipmunks.
You really've got a filthy mind, don't you?
I don't think that's a filthy mind. I think that's kind of a weird mind. But nonetheless, it looks like he makes a movie every 3 years, which is probably not a very good... Well, maybe it's a good idea. I don't know.
Probably depends. What do you mean, Phil?
I don't know. The first movie that he ever made was a movie called... I don't know what it was. He did a lot of TV. But this Captain Phillips ought to be pretty good, because he does direct an exciting movie. He's a very good director, and his movies are exciting. Whether or not you agree with whatever the point of view is, I thought that I don't know that I've seen the second two Bourne films. The first one I saw sucked.
Why is that?
It just sucked. I don't know why, other than to say that it wasn't believable. It completely was not believable to me. It had such a skewed political point of view that, look at man, if you tell the story straight up, the way it possibly is, as opposed to your fantasies about how it is, I can't watch a movie that is somebody's political fantasy. I'd much rather see a movie that has some basis, maybe in reality. You can let the viewer make up his mind, and let's go from there. I don't know, man. All right.
I don't understand what you just said, Phil, but I suppose...
Well, I'm sorry you didn't understand what I just said. We'll be right back here at World Famous Phil Hendry Show to wrap up, and philhendryshow.com. All right, welcome back here. It is the Phil Hendry Show. What else, man? What else? What else you got, man?
What do you mean, what else? What else do I have?
Oh, what else? What's up with Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga?
Talk about Lady Gaga. She had a hit record lately, or what, you know? What's going on with,
So, in other words, you want a dog paddle to the end of the show?
Pretty much, yeah. No, but what is up with Lady Gaga?
She's selling it out on tour. She's kicking ass and taking names.
Now, that's what I was talking with Matt about during the break. I want to do a one-man show, and I know a lot of people have said, oh, you already said that, Henry, you're not going to do it. Yes, I am going to do it. Yes, I am going to do it. But it's changing forms as we speak. It's changing, it's morphing, it's metastasizing, all that weird, ugly stuff, you know.
Well, what is it, a one-man show or the thing from the deep? Is this the War of the Worlds again? Are we talking about something that came up out of the sewer system?
No, we're not talking about something that came up out of the sewer system.
Talk about a one-man show, you are.
No, you're not.
Well, Mr. Henry, look, I believe in your ability, but just don't make it so that your one-man show is something that people talk about and something will come out of the sewer system. You don't want it to be a monstrosity.
No, I don't want it to be a monstrosity. How do we get him back around sewer? So I thought we were talking at the early part of the show about chud.
I don't know what chud is unless that's something that you throw up. Is that what...
No. Everybody knows chud is a creature... You know.
No, everybody don't know that. I don't even know what that stands for, but it was a horror movie from the 70s about something that lived in the sewer system. The Republican Party has been badly damaged in the ongoing government showdown, ongoing government shutdown and debt limit standoff with a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. Now, NBC, I want to tell you something, and you probably already know this, but I'll just say it anyway. When you have a news agency like your own, and I don't necessarily disagree with you when it comes to the health care. Look, nothing that I've ever seen in my life has reflected more dumb, absolutely more dumb, just overall D-U-M-B as a state of mind than the debate on health care. I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork left and right, trying to outdo each other as to how stupid they can be when it comes to this. There was a really great essay that was written, and we posted it online, As a matter of fact, we posted it on our website. Not on our website. We posted it on our Facebook page. And I'm going to get to it. And I highly recommend that you read this. Okay?
Well, I know the one you're talking about. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, his name's like Tobias Durblin.
It ain't Tobias Durblin. If you don't know the guy's last name, don't make a name up, okay?
You do it all the time.
No, I don't do it all the time. No, I don't do it all the time. His name is Tobias Durblin. The guy's name is, I'll give it to you in a second here, but the fact is, he wrote an outstanding essay, and he pointed out something that either you want to accept this as fact, or you can just be a total ass. You know, in other words, you can accept it as fact, or you can just deny that life exists as we know it. I mean, what else can you say to people? What else are you supposed to say to people? You say, all right, here's something, read this, what do you think? Well, no, I don't believe it. Now, I'll give you the name of this chap. His name is Tobias Buckell, B-U-C-K-E-L-L.
That's the guy, and it's about Reagan had already socialized health care.
Well, what happened was, in 1986, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act became law. It was passed into bill. It was passed into law. It was signed by Ronald Reagan in 1986. Up until 1986, hospitals and doctors could turn people away if they didn't have the money, so could emergency rooms. Up until 1986, in the United States of America, hospitals could turn a dying person away at the door if they didn't have money or refused to treat them. This is a fact. As you can imagine, costs were kept down. Now, as I say this, I know there's people turning their radio off. They don't want to hear it. This is what characterizes the healthcare debate more than anything else. People don't want to even know the truth. They just want to keep going along being dumb. All right. In 1986, Republicans passed EMTALA. What did EMTALA do? The Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. What did it do? It socialized health care and made emergency rooms just like police or firemen or roads. It said people showing up on a doorstep of an ER dying could not be refused treatment. Understand? They could not be refused treatment. Why did this happen? Because patients were being literally dumped by hospitals to prevent having to assume the expense of treating them. Congress passed EMTALA to combat the practice of patient dumping, i.e., refusal to treat people because of inability to pay or insufficient insurance, or transferring or discharging emergency patients on the basis of high anticipated diagnosis and treatment costs. Understand, folks, up until 1986, that's exactly what they did. Kicked your ass out into the street. The law applies when an individual has an emergency medical and a request is made on the individual's behalf for examination or treatment for a medical condition. Here's what that looked like on the ground. Ron Anderson, MD, president and CEO of Parkland Memorial Hospital and Hospital System in Dallas, was the medical director of the emergency department of Parkland in the early 1980s, and he knew all about dumping. I would see patients transferred with knives still in their backs, or women giving birth at the door of the hospital simply because they were uninsured. These and many other shocking incidents caught the attention of the CBS investigative show 60 Minutes, which on March 17, 1985, broadcast an episode titled The Billfold Biopsy about dumping unstabilized patients at Parkland. And so, basically, Ronald Reagan set up hospital emergency rooms as socialized health care, saying you must treat. Here's the only difference between Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama. Ronald Reagan didn't fund them. Ronald Reagan said, there's no way to pay for them, and I'm not about to force that down the taxpayers' throats. What I'm going to do is force you people to treat them, and you figure out a way to pay for it. Sound good to you? Apparently not, because guess what? Healthcare costs since 1986 have gone into the trillions per year. And what have we done now? Well, we've said that that's all... I've talked to more conservatives. I'm telling you right now, I've talked to more conservatives who have said to me, I don't have health insurance. And I've said to them, well, what are you going to do if... Well, I'll find a way to pay for it. You will, huh? I'm supposed to take your word for that. Is that right? Well, I'm not going to have Obama tell me that I got... Well, okay, you don't have to have Obama do anything, man. But I'm the guy that's going to pay for you, because guess what, jackass? I've got health insurance, and I do pay my taxes, and I do pay my medical bills. I pay my bills, period. And I'm going to wind up paying for your ass, because they're going to pass that along to me. And you ain't a Mexican. You want me to believe the whole problem is caused by Mexicans. I'm telling you right now, folks, This is a problem caused by a very compassionate act on the part of a president, Ronald Reagan, who needed to, he said, we have to have a law that ensures that people get treated, but I'm not going to tell you how to pay for it. I'm sure as hell not going to pass a tax. I'm just going to enforce this. As the president of the United States, as the head of the executive branch, here's the law, and my job is to enforce it. I can't afford it. Tough. So along comes Barack Obama some 20-plus years later, and he says, well, we got to find a way to pay for this. And guess what? He's a socialist, he's a communist, and every other stupid-ass description that you can make, you make. Okay, so the system has gotten distorted, the costs have gone up, an Affordable Care Act that lets freelancers and people in between jobs get health care, lets people outside of large corporations get health care, lets small businesses get health care, and this is communism. But forcing a hospital to treat somebody, even if they can't afford it, even if the person doesn't have medical insurance, because the law says that they must, that's good old-fashioned Republican politics? I don't. Do you understand that? Because I don't, man. That's the Republican solution, in other words, as far as it was under Ronald Reagan, was to pass a law, force people to treat people who are needing hospital care, and not help them pay for it. That's okay. No, it ain't. No, it's not, folks. We're living with the results today. It's destroying our economy. I'm Phil Henry.
What a blowhard.
I'm a blowhard, but you're the liberal?
Yeah.
World famous Phil Henry Show. See you tomorrow night.